You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Around the NFL Podcast.
Great additional crew work, Greg.
Welcome to another edition of Around the NFL. He's working his way up the ranks, and people are noticing. He's turning heads. But is there a glass ceiling?
Yeah, it's been marginally impressive by Greg. This second career of his.
Dan Hans is here with, you heard Mark Sessler, and yes, Greg Rosenthal. That's in reference, of course, to the Flashpoint Focus series, which... You know, here's the thing about the Flashpoint Focus series. You don't just pencil in an episode date where it's like, this is the next episode. It's when it kind of comes into focus. And I just have a feeling there's something in the air that there could be one coming up soon. That's all I can say. Does anybody else have that feeling?
So is this a Flashpoint Focus about a Flashpoint Focus?
Sounds about right. How's everybody doing? Great job holding it down with the great Patrick Claibon on Tuesday as the combine kicked off. I spent some good time with my parents who were visiting in town, and now I am locked in as well. The Underwear Olympics roll on or are getting going in Indianapolis, and we'll continue to comb the desert there and find some news coming out of Indy and the Lucas Oil Stadium. But we're also going to dig into some free agency and team transaction talk, Greggy. In fact, we're going to try to put together some realistic trades a little bit later with the great Roto-Pat, Pat Daugherty.
I'm looking forward to it. This is my time of year. As we finish taping this, the on-field drills kind of start at the combine. And we'll wrap all those up on Monday and talk about them next week. But it's almost like I enjoy this part. It's good. Get to learn about all the prospects. It's like, get it out of the way, and then the fun starts for a couple weeks. And then we chill for like months.
Your thoughts, Mark?
I was just reflecting back on the Flashpoint Focus update that you provided, and I am with you that it feels inevitable that there's some sort of tipping point coming, but it is mysterious at this point. I just can sense it like an air dirigible in the skies coming closer to our city, to our home.
It's kind of a funky time of the NFL calendar, I find, because you do have this big event, this tentpole event of the combine, and you have most of the GMs and coaches there, and they're talking. So it makes you feel like this is a very, you know, big time of year news-wise, but, you know, it's still there, as you guys definitely handled on Tuesday, there's a lot of fugazi stuff out there right now. The real meat and potatoes of the news is coming up as the free agency kicks off in earnest, I believe, next week. Couple weeks, two weeks. And of course, then the draft starts getting closer. So we're going to get you up to date on everything that's going on. And do you want to start where we usually start, which is the latest news?
Please.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Playing press on the outside. Mahomes will throw it in the pocket. He's launching one long. Marquez Valdes-Scantling catches the ball at the Raven 30 on his backside. Shades of the catch he had against Cincinnati in the end zone last year in the AFC Championship game.
There's the call, of course, from Mitch Holtis in the AFC title game. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, one of the more frustrating wide receivers in the league, a guy that has always gotten open, has always had premium quarterback talent around him, but has never really broken through, but has made big plays, as you just heard. There was one of them also scored in the touch in the Super Bowl, the recent Chiefs win over the Niners. But now it looks like MVS will be once again looking for a new team because the Kansas City Chiefs are releasing the wide receiver who was headed into the final season of his three-year deal. It gives the Chiefs much needed cap help. It provides $12 million in cap savings per over the cap. So on the week where we learned that the Chiefs were going to tag Lajarius Sneed and be open to a trade of him, and they are obviously all in, it seems, on trying to get Chris Jones signed to a long-term deal. This is some house cleaning that is much necessary. And also, love him or hate him, or who loved him, but MVS did serve a role in a pared down offensive attack down the stretch for the Chiefs, and now they have to find a replacement for him. So the Chiefs have a lot of work to do.
Well, I think they're going to spend money and or draft picks at receiver. We're talking trades later, and to me, they're a candidate for a wide receiver trade if any team out there is. So they're clearing money to do it. And yet, I'm not sure if they win back-to-back Super Bowls without MVS or without some MVS-like character. And it, there is something funny, and I, you know, identify it with a little bit as a Patriots fan. If a bad move that you made results in a couple big-time postseason plays that leads to your championship, it all feels worth it. MVS had a monster AFC championship game a year ago, 116 yards. And then in the playoffs, in the AFC playoffs, he had like the biggest catches in each of the divisional round and the conference championship. So if you're a Chiefs fan, it's like, okay, that kind of was a waste of money, but we wouldn't have won a Super Bowl without it. It reminds me of when the Patriots drafted Sony Michel over Lamar Jackson. Still a little salty about that, but you know, they did get a title out of it, I guess, in 2018.
I mean, Dan, you're right to call him he was a frustrating overall experience, but it's like he was until he wasn't. And like the whole offense was a tough watch. And then suddenly MVS made absolutely monster plays down the stretch. I think you're right, Greg. Like they don't reach the Super Bowl or win it without a couple of those plays, but they are a strong candidate to reimagine the entire wideout room. And I'm with you that I think when you think about a team that would be prepared to make a trade for a veteran wideout who you can plug in right away, you know what you're getting, because they're sitting down number 32 in the draft. I mean, there's a lot of good wide receivers, but you're not going to get one of the premier guys necessarily there. It's like they just feel like a trade candidate big time to me.
They're just so interesting because I said this last week that for a team that's coming off a Super Bowl, they have big decisions to make and they could go in two very different directions. They could build around Mahomes and try to become a 500-point team again and get back to the glory days there, or they could dig in around Jones and Sneed and keep that defense with Spags intact and find a way on offense. And maybe what this is they're trying to thread the needle here, because if they do look to trade Sneed and obviously develop a new cornerback through the draft or a cheaper signing or someone already on the roster, then you can keep Chris Jones. He's the heart and soul of that defense. You have the coordinator, you find a way, and then you go and attack that offense. And it's a scary thought for the rest of the league because the Chiefs, I still think, won the Super Bowl this year as a compromised team that still found a way. And they could be the rare Super Bowl team where they get a lot better in the offseason, but and it's actually real, not like fake better, real better.
I think that's how they'll spend their money. You mentioned Sneed getting tagged, which we had breaking news right at the end of our show, Dan, but we didn't have the information that they've given permission to seek a trade right away, which the fact that came with the news indicates to me he's very likely on the move if they get a good offer, and I don't see why they wouldn't get a good offer for a second team All-Pro like entering his prime.
He'll have a great market. He is a decorated a cover corner, a versatile guy, just came off a Super Bowl. So the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs are set up potentially for a monster offseason. We'll see what happens. In other news, the Bengals, they're looking to get back to the realm of the AFC elite, and it's looking increasingly apparent that they think T. Higgins being on the team is necessary toward that goal. The Inquirer, Cincinnati Inquirer, Charlie Goldsmith reported the Bengals have, quote, no plans to trade T. Higgins. That kind of echoes what Duke Tobin, their director of player personnel, said, that they plan to keep Higgins on the roster. So T. Higgins, who is a perfect complement, obviously, to Ja'Marr Chase, and it looks like Tyler Boyd is going to reach free agency. But if you have those two guys as your dogs, with Joe Burrow, as long as you can protect the quarterback, they're going to score a lot of points.
This felt like a completely necessary move, and we touched on it a little on our last episode, but the news did firm up about what might happen with a tag T. Higgins. Like, would they tag and trade him, like, with the Snead? Like, and that's just not going to happen. I just cannot imagine a world where you'd take weapons away from Joe Burrow, and you're already going to lose, potentially, Tyler Boyd as well. And it's like, this is your window. Like, just don't make false mistakes here and strip them away of a totally promising. They have two number one wide receivers. That's how you get back to the AFC title game.
It's I don't know if it's bold, and I like it. It's not surprising because it's just a Bengals-y thing to do. They let Jesse Bates play out the last year. They're like, well, we're going to get one more good year out of Bates. You know, they almost won the Super Bowl. We're going to get one more year out of T. Higgins. We'll not worry about what we get. Because I've seen some analysts out there say, like, the wide receiver market, I don't know if it's going to be as strong. You have to give them the huge contract. It's like, no, I think T. Higgins, they could get like a late first round pick for T. Higgins. And I don't hate that they're not going to do it. You only have so many years where you're going to have two great wide receivers like that. And I would not expect them to be back on the team. And they've done this before. They did it with Bates. They actually did it with AJ Green during the COVID year, which was a bad decision. They just had him stay one more year, and he suddenly turned really old in that season. They've done it in the past, and it's fine. Go do it right now while everyone's around.
In other news, you know, and I get it. I've said it on this podcast, I get it. My favorite team is kind of a source of fail son entertainment for everyone else, and I get it. And they're delivering, I feel like, a lot of good content lately, and this year should be interesting. The New York Jets had a wide receiver named Mecole Hardman, who was formerly of the Chiefs, that they brought in the offseason, who was supposed to be a good complement and add an element of big play, a big play element to their offense. It never happened. He barely was seeing the field. And eventually he was traded back to the Chiefs, where, yes, he had the walk-off touchdown in the Super Bowl. Isn't that funny? Isn't that so cool? Anyway.
He also almost lost them, you know, ended their season before that with his terrible play.
So he's a dummy. But let's focus on the news that came out this week that Mecole Hardman, and this is according to some reporting from Connor Hughes, that Hardman, frustrated by his lack of usage with the Jets, leaked game plans to the opposition. It was implied by several players on social media, amongst them Sauce Gardner. He leaked game plan details to the Eagles and also the Chiefs. Ironically, games in which the Jets had their high point of their season, a victory over the Eagles when we were in London, as you may recall, gentlemen. And then a Sunday night game with the Chiefs that went down to the final minutes that they lost. And also a commentary that Mecole Hardman made at some point before his trade, saying that he had been in contact with both Patrick Mahomes and Brett Veach, the GM, come get me. So the Jets are potentially a report out there investigating tampering. So, at the end of the day, just a really good move to bring Mecole Hardman into the organization.
It worked. It worked almost perfectly. I mean, it is kind of a reminder, though, that some of these off-season bolstering of rosters and moves that get treated with a lot of, you know, grandeur, because it was like Robert Saleh that, you know, last offseason was gushing about Mecole Hardman and his speed and called him like gas, I think, and just like it seemed like it all was going to work and it couldn't have gone worse. But my thing is, like, if this can be proven, that he's sharing game plans. And I'm not saying that like unleashing the Jets game plan to the opponent was a lot of top secret stuff to begin with when you have Nate Hackett running the offense, but
I just want to fly like, around like a butterfly.
That's suspension territory.
Different to your point? Like, how is that, you know, we come down very hard on gambling as our league makes millions upon millions of dollars off it. And the idea, it's all about the integrity of the game. They're digging through players' phones and emails and things to find out evidence of that. If they have evidence on his phone or wherever else that he was leaking the game plan of his own team, first of all, he should be out of the league forever. Why would anyone want that guy on their team? And secondly, why wouldn't the league come down hard? I agree 100% with you. That was the first thought I had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just based on the reporting, I don't know if there is like a smoking gun. It might be one of those things that got kind of talked around by the other players. He is certainly not a popular man in the Jets locker room, I'm sure, the way it all ended. And he didn't, like, this partly came about because he went on a podcast, I think it was Ryan Clark's podcast, and he said how he was completely checked out of the Jets, admitted that he refused to return punts for them one game because he felt like he had been lied to about having the punt return job or whatever, and then was just like, not giving any effort whatsoever, he admitted, like in the middle of his career, which is, you know, not something you probably want to put out there, because I don't know if the Chiefs are that interested in keeping him either. I mean, it was a nice, he'll always have his moment. I mean, he's not quite Malcolm Butler, but he'll always be part of like history, but that might be about it for his career.
And this is going to sound like, you know, sour Dan with the Jets, but I just think and if you watch Hard Knocks, and I talked about it with Colleen at the time, if you feel you must, go check the tape, that he was one of the only people that didn't come off well on Hard Knocks. He walked around with aviators indoors and kind of carried himself in a different way than everyone else and all the, you know, the player bonding activities. And it was just like, what's Hardman all about? So seems to be a premium knucklehead, but congratulations on that Super Bowl and all the glory that came with it. All right. Oh, also, Zach Wilson has been given permission to seek a trade. Good luck. I saw a report out there connecting him to Sean McVay and the Rams. Okay, we'll see.
Put a pin in that. I actually have 7 different Zach Wilson trade proposals coming up as part 2 of the show.
I actually do have a Zach Wilson one. It's one of about 60 that I concocted, though.
And I know it drives you guys and some listeners crazy that I believe that Sam Darnold is an NFL player that could be successful in this league.
Sam Darnold.
You will not hear me saying about that, about Zach Wilson. That always had a funky smell to it, and I don't believe he has a future in the league. Finally, let's spin through a couple of things real quick. Janu Smith, the well-traveled tight end, he has been released by the Falcons, so he was cut. Geno Smith locked in after a contract restructure. Those two items are out there. I thought Geno Smith was actually pretty good last year.
Janu, yeah. I mean, he was like the guy that was on top of.
Did you do the thing where it's like you're saying the first name long, so you're going to correct it before you go into your point? Thank you. I appreciate it.
I guess so. I don't know what's the best.
Janu, yeah, he had a pretty good year.
You know, former Patriot great Jonnu Smith. Look, he was the guy who was always at the top of your free agent waiver wire if you play fantasy, and you're like, he does have like 500 yards this season and 50 catches. Should I pick up Jonnu Smith? But you don't want to get the ultimate, like the week where he goes 1 for 8, which is probably what's going to happen next. You just put him in Pittsburgh. He can follow with Arthur Smith. But it was interesting at the combine that the Seahawks essentially said. I think they were a little misleading the way they said they're like, oh yeah, Geno was always coming back. Like it was just a question of timing. I think they went through the process. They decided he is coming back, but the way they moved the money around in his contract, he is locked in now as a Seahawk. So he's not going anywhere. I think it'll be Geno and some rookie to be named later.
And finally in the news,
Warner goes under. Nope, he's going to go back in the shotgun. First and goal at the 2. Sidecar to his left. Steelers show blitz. He throws the pass up. It's going to be picked off. James Harrison has it. He's running up the sideline. 25-30, 35-40. Still on his feet at the 45 and down. No, he's still on his feet. Here comes Harrison jumping over people to the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5. And that's a touchdown for Pittsburgh. An amazing play.
I still think the most amazing play in NFL Super Bowl history, at least in a not end of game scenario. WDVE, that is Bill Hillgrove with the call of James Harrison's pick six of Kurt Warner of the Cardinals in Super Bowl 53, took it back 100 yards, and they needed every one of those points because the Steelers were actually down in the final minutes. Warner was playing out of his mind with Larry Fitzgerald, and then Big Ben to Santonio Holmes in the back of the end zone, another classic Hillgrove call, and the venerable play-by-play man is stepping down. The team made the announcement on Thursday that the 84-year-old is out, retiring as the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Steelers after three decades on the job. He took over in 1994 from Jack Fleming, and now it is Hillgrove stepping aside. And people that listen to this podcast know we have quite an affinity for local play-by-play men and how they serve as the voice of the fans. And it is, a passing of the torch moment for Steelers fans because there's been a lot of big time moments in the last 30 years.
Yeah, I think like you, the special thing about radio is that most of your memories, obviously, or you're creating these images in your mind while you're like driving around. It's like, I'm not a big baseball fan, but I kind of love driving around listening to like a Dodgers game once in a while. It just creates this texture. His name, his voice has been in our lives as long as we've been fans for the most part. And I think the way you judge these guys is in the biggest moments, like, do they nail that call? And like, that's a great example of how precise and entertaining and verbally talented he was.
He's the man. It actually was making me think, like, it might be the most beloved positions in the media. Like columnists, everyone turns on columnists if they ever liked them to begin with. Like, they get mixed reactions. National broadcasters, they'll have their fans, but they get a ton of hate. Yeah, even podcasts, you stick around long enough, people start turning on you too. But the local legend radio host is like beloved. Our friend JB Long's going to be that guy someday. People are going to be listening to that call he made when they won the Super Bowl forever.
Greg, absolutely. Do you think that at this point, at this stage, and there is online evidence that this is possibly the case, that the listeners are starting to turn on us to varying degrees?
Well, I mean, we've probably never, all of us haven't been equally beloved the whole time. But yeah, I would think there's some haters out there. But the good thing with podcasts is just like stop listening. You know, so that part I don't.
You do have that power.
Take a walk, loser. Yeah, if I write a podcast memoir in a few years, it would be die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. That I feel like that is forward by Sir Anthony Hopkins. Got a nice ring to it.
And you're absolutely right, Mark. Me and a couple friends actually were, and this is like a sad Patriots fan thing to do at this point, we're texting the Gil Santos call of Adam Vinatieri winning the first Super Bowl with him, which he absolutely nailed. Just the way the octaves in his voice goes up, like sticks with me forever and gives me chills. I only played it because Walker wanted to listen to it, and he absolutely nailed that call. And like Gil Santos, rest in peace, will be a legend forever in New England for that.
Yes. Walker was told, if you want my love and a new baseball bat for the season, you will listen to this call.
No, he asked about it. He's like, Daddy, tell me when they weren't embarrassing, when they weren't getting F minuses on the NFLPA report or whatever.
That's right. Let's talk about that in a second. But I know you guys mentioned Peter King, but Peter King retiring after, you know, decades and decades as the, you know, kind of the voice of the league as a columnist. Hillgrove moving on. It's, you know, we've been doing this long enough now where, you know, we've been covering the football for what feels like a mini generation of the league's history. And now everything changes. You know what? Somebody's going to come for us one day too. So let's just enjoy it while we have it, you know? Yeah, they did put out the grades. That's one more item. The NFLPA kind of like this move. And by the way, what I was saying at the top of the show, this is a perfect example. The machine wants you to think this is a massive week or two on the calendar right now. But like in reality, it's a lot of flotsam and jetsam. So that's when the union says this is where we'll drop in our grades of coaches, facilities, and the survey of their players. And three head coaches got A-plus grades when their players were surveyed. Andy Reid. Well, you knew it would be Reid. Can you guess who the other two were if you didn't see this?
I did.
A plus.
I think,
I saw I knew Kevin O'Connell up got there. One of the A pluses.
I don't know if he got an A plus.
Kevin O'Connell and Dan Campbell, the only three coaches to get an A plus. Now, Reed might have gotten an A plus. However, the Chiefs, and this was the case, I believe, last year as well, didn't fare so well in other voting. Their facilities were, I think, at the bottom of the list, and GM Brett Veach did not get graded well at all either, which, you know, they're back-to-back champions. So take that with a grain of salt or see it as a La Ravio Magnifico of the entire experience. Anything else that kind of jumped out from the union list here?
Well, I think the timing of the vote mattered because they pointed out that Nick Sirianni received an A. But these polls were done in November before they went off at the side of a cliff. So I wonder what even a 6-week difference would have made for some of these marks.
I think it was mostly about like communication and following through on your word. So the Veach thing, maybe he doesn't have a great like interpersonal skills. But the ownership stuff, Clark Hunt going 31st out of 32 owners because they feel like he's been selling them a bill of goods about their cheap facility, which kind of is fairly well known as one of the most rundown old facilities, and that basically he's repeatedly promised to fix it. And then they were like, you guys keep going on these long playoff runs. We didn't have time to fix it. It is a little interesting. It has worked. Like they banged on the
Cardinals.
Is that
what he actually says, Greg, or are you just projecting what he might say?
What?
In terms of your playoff run was too long. We didn't have time this year.
No, that was that was like one of the things that apparently he said to them after last season or something. It did work though. Like remember last year, the floors were uneven in Arizona or Cincinnati, and a bunch of stuff were cheap. Like those teams were so embarrassed, and Tampa was another one that they did kind of like fix this relatively small scale stuff. Like the Cardinals no longer charge money for people to eat there. So I would like this if we had this at our work. We could have little, try to improve what you can improve. I bet they're going to fix those facilities in Kansas City. I bet he doesn't like it. On ESPN, this is like a lead story that Clark Hunt's one of the worst owners in sports.
Well, it caused a total firestorm for the Cardinals a year ago. You're right. And like the one that I kept seeing people going nuts about was that the Chargers, and I think you get the feeling that the Chargers cut some corners here and there in general, but they charged their players for game day daycare for their children. It's $75 for the first child and $50 for each additional child. Now, look, I don't know what the other teams are doing on that front, but this like became a fiery talking point on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, the Bucks like is another example and why this is a really smart idea by the union, even if it probably ruffles some feathers in terms of relationship between the two sides. The Bucks felt compelled to release an organizational statement after they got slammed for having an unclean and smelly locker. Anyway, that's good.
It's
good stuff.
Like, what if we were just like, can we get those? Can we get some red apples in the little jar outside?
Yeah, give me some Rojos.
It's like those green. They're flavorless. The green ones.
I like the tang of the green.
Just kidding. I'm kidding.
And by the way, for people, younger people out there, when they have those town halls for your job, and like, one of the people on the show needs to kind of fall in line on this too. Don't fall into the trap of thinking you can speak your mind, because the certain members of management will use it against you if you try to embarrass them. You know,
we've seen multiple, and I know you're talking about me, and I take that note. I accept it.
It's but a classic shadowy league figure trap move. Yeah. Never stand up.
We've seen multiple former NFL employees contribute to their status as former NFL media employees by stepping up in those big spots.
Yes, yes, yes. Mark?
I have learned to say nothing except then I do say something and then I wish I didn't. That's how it typically works.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening in the news. Let's take a break. And when we get back, we will welcome in the great Roto Pat.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Our next guest is a favorite, a personal favorite. Mark loves him. Greg, hot and cold. He is one of the great NFL writers.
Give me a break.
For NBC Sports. He is a Jeff Fisher scholar. And if you have any questions about Joe Flacco talking Roger Federer's poise, you know where to go. Roto Pat, Patrick Daugherty, welcome back to Around the NFL.
Pointing out all my truly terrible Twitter memes that I keep on my account for like 7 years at a time. Should probably change my Joe Flacco Broncos header. Especially since he's good again. He's the comeback player of the year. There you go.
It's relevant.
So good that as everyone pointed out, it was better than literally coming back to life.
Does anyone remember Joe Flacco on the Broncos at this point? I certainly don't.
Roger Federer does.
Greg, do you want to hash out the beef there with Roto Pat?
Well, there was no beef, although I'm not even actually sure if I did hire Roto Pat, but I remember I was a big supporter of him back in
you
the
were
days, at Roto World while we were laying brick by brick. I shouldn't take credit for you if Evan hired you. He probably did.
So you can't claim credit. It was Evan. He actually, Evan stole me in the night from the baseball side of the site, too. I was going to do like a baseball test shift, and he immediately got me installed in a football test shift. And this is not a joke. I did both sports for about 18 months. And the one day, one of our other bosses, Greg, Brett Randermark, just called me. He's like, Evan said you're not doing baseball anymore. All right.
And, I've thought about that often, and I know we'll get to the trades. The first 6 months at Roto, where I loved baseball. Baseball was, you know, my favorite sport at the time. And I wrote the baseball magazine. I worked in both baseball and football. And I often think, like, if I had just not been assigned to cover football, how much... worse my life would be. It wouldn't be here.
See, we those great sliding doors moments.
We were like Okies in the 30s.
Not
and
as 40s. Many opportunities, I'm just saying. The NFL has been very, very good to me.
Yeah, we were like Okies in the 30s and 40s. Just get all the way to California. Don't stop on the way there. Skip over baseball and just get to football. That's where the almighty American dollar is.
I have always wondered, Pat, like if you suddenly switched gears, developed a new interest, became like a tax accountant or something, you'd have to rebrand your entire handle. It's the Roto part of it would make no sense at that point.
But the wardrobe really, would be ready to go, I think, right now.
What do you guys think of my tasteful wardrobe? You guys have the really tasteful backdrops. I have the tasteful wardrobe. I need to work on my backdrops still.
But they used to, before Musk came along, they used to hold it above your head like an anvil. Do not change your handle or you lose your verified check mark. And now we all lost our verified check mark. So I think he could change the handle. Keep Now, some people will be confused, that followers of Pat will be confused if all of a sudden he's talking about advanced accounting around tax season after 15 years of talking baseball and football. But, you know, they'll figure it out. He'll keep some. He'll lose some.
That's good. I have so much podcasting experience, too. I'm sure I could BS being an accountant. Like, yeah, just don't cheat on your taxes. You should be pretty good. Even if you cheat a little bit, you're probably all right. But
All right.
Can't
so we want to get
a tax podcast would carry much weight. But anyway. I would,
you know what? It's once you have you define what your audience is and then you just go for it. And I think Pat would have a chance. Here we are. We're going to talk about. Yes. While the combine is kicking off, we're going to really be digging into the draft side of things once those activities have ceased in Indianapolis. But for now, we're going to keep our eyes on what's current, the players currently on rosters with free agency a couple of weeks away and players under contract and teams trying to figure out how financially they want to attack. So trades could happen. In fact, I believe it was around this time last year or maybe the year before the Russell Wilson trade went down as an example. 2 years ago now. And so we could get a big one as teams set up for free agency. So why not? Let's throw out some trades. Let's try to keep them in the realm of reality, things that could make sense. Now, I know we said before we started that RotoPat has a hammer drop to end all hammer drops as we build it up to a level and expectations it cannot possibly meet, but that's how we'll end. But we're also going to start with our guest. Patrick, get us going with a trade.
First off, you're right. You're actually kind of late on a big trade where, you know, the new league year, when it begins March 13th, that has never stopped people from announcing trades like January 18th, like Matthew Stafford to the Rams, like kind of wondering why the rules even in place at all when that kind of stuff can happen. But I'll start. You're promising a hammer drop. I'll start as normie as possible.
Okay.
And I want the normie trade I want to happen is Justin Fields to the Atlanta Falcons for a pair of second round picks. Some people will say he won't fetch that much. I call 2 second rounders kind of like the gentleman's first rounder, where you can't be seen like valuing him at a first round level. Right now, I feel like for like toxic fan purposes, he's not worth a first rounder, but he could be worth 2 second rounders. It's not an all in move. It won't like cripple the franchise. You don't have to make an all in move in the NFC South. It's a similar roster to the Bears, where it's made to have a high octane rushing attack. It's got a solid defense. He's proven, despite his passing limitations, he can at least like strike up one of those like amazing like alpha wide receiver connections as he did last year with DJ Moore. And I just think it's a good, it's more than a hold serve move, but it's like the Falcons finally trying to like actually get serious about quarterback without having to make like some totally maybe it turns into a franchise altering move, but it's not like Deshaun Watson where like totally alters the franchise with 3 first rounders gone. And I think of all the Justin Fields potential destinations, I want it to be the Falcons.
I think that's a good way to get going here because I'm sure you're not the only one that has a Fields trade. So why don't we'll talk about that one. And if anyone wants to add a Fields, Mark, go ahead. What do you have?
Well, I was going to say, I did a couple Justin Fields scenarios, but Falcons, it's like, cool. It's the missing piece. It's what they were so frustrating. If they were for years in a row, it's just like, put a quarterback here and we got a lot going on. And I had the same thing as you. I had Fields though, for a second, and on this show, we have our guys, dudes that we, you know, really just sort of have a bit of a fetish with earlier in their careers. They can't be stars. And like Tyler Allgeier was my dude 2 years ago. And I kind of think it would help if they sent Tyler Allgeier in a second back to the Bears. It frees him up for a big career in Chicago. And it kind of unclogs the whole Bijan Robinson thing too. So I think the Falcons just seem to be using the wrong players at different times this season ago.
So... He's a weird trade evaluation because you're saying 2 seconds. So that would have to be, I think it's the 43rd pick of the draft. And then I guess next year's second. We're trying to be specific here. I mean, you could even get NBA like and trade a 26 second once I think we get to the draft.
Or make the second can maybe be a conditional third. Like it can turn into a third or something
okay,
like that.
Sure. They do have an extra third round pick this year that if they wanted to do that. His contract makes him more tradable, more valuable. He's getting paid nothing this year. And then he's on a fifth-year option next year, which for a starting quarterback is essentially nothing. I mean, it's going to be like $20 million, but that's a bargain if you actually are a team that's going to want to pay it. Whereas this year, I think you're literally paying him like $5 million bucks, something crazy. A base salary, $1.6 million, $1.6 million. $1 roster bonus. You're paying him what like Sam Darnold made in San Francisco last year. What a like a backup is going to make or less than a decent backup. That's why I think he might have a better market than people think. I'm not sending him to Atlanta though. I think they're on a weird timeline because Terry Fontenot is like, he's been around for a while. They're GM, but the coach is new. I think they might rather just go with like a young play, a franchise, you know, draft pick, which Arthur Blank seems to be all over. So that's why I'm sending him to the Raiders for the 44th pick. And the Bears did like getting a veteran back. So they're going to get back Tyree Wilson, who had one of the worst seasons out of a top 10 pick that we've seen in a long time last year, but he was a top 10 pick. So it's like, okay, give us someone we can play with a little bit that has some talent. Well, it was a year ago, 44th pick overall in Tyree Wilson to the Raiders. I think they're the most likely team that would actually do this.
But I think that's a good one. Go ahead, Pat.
I was going to say, I love the idea of, if it's the Falcons, I love the idea of including Algier because he's like a loaded gun laying around. Like he's going to go off if he's on the roster. Like they like coaches cannot quit him. And like they let him being good be the enemy of Bijan being great. And right. he's just got to get off the roster. They're going to be too tempted to use him if he's on the roster.
It's not fair to Algier to call him a progress stopper, to use a Parcellsism, because he's actually a young, talented player. But he is, in terms of letting Bijan be the guy what he wants to be, and that's a 2,000-yard rusher, you got to give him the ball, got to give him the rock. So I like all these are all places that make sense for Fields. I also have a Fields trade. But I have to tell you, in terms of BS detectors, there has been very few storylines that have popped up post-Super Bowl in the last few years that smelled as funky as the Steelers saying they were good with their quarterback room. It actually brings to mind my first year, and Mark, your first year at NFL Media, when we were doing write-ups with Mike Shanahan. Not Kyle, Mike Shanahan stating that he would stake his reputation on Rex Grossman and John Beck, that quarterback room. That's how it feels in Pittsburgh right now. So I think about Mike Tomlin, like what have they been missing since Ben got old? I mean, just a true two-way threat quarterback who can make plays, who could avoid the rush. And I think Fields to the Steelers makes a lot of sense. And I'm going to send the 2024 second round pick, 51 overall, a 2024 fourth round pick, and a 2025 conditional third.
Whoa.
That becomes a second if Fields hits certain performance and durability escalators. Get it done. Do not. I smell the BS, so stop trying to serve it, Steelers.
Yeah, not trying to dominate the talking, but amazing stylistic fit in Pittsburgh. And you make a great point with the Steelers and like the BS detector and the quarterbacks. I loved how Raheem Morris in Atlanta was just like, yeah, he didn't do that at all. He's like, I literally wouldn't even be here if the quarterback was in any way walking around. Like, I would still be in LA. Like, let's just be real.
That's true.
And so there was some admirable honesty from New
with
Falcon
these guys coach. that are actually still on a roster. The Steelers would have to go against what they've been for a long time. And there's some indication
It's time to mix things up in Pittsburgh.
And there's some indication that they are and that they will. It is a different general manager, Omar Khan, than Kevin Colbert, who was there for a couple of decades. But I don't know. Three picks might get it done. I think there's going to be a bigger market. I think it might be something close to that sort of trade than people realize. The trick is like, I almost know the Raiders would be in on this, but and maybe the Falcons. There's actually not that many teams that are logical like destinations for a Justin Fields, because most logical ones have picks in the top three: the Patriots, Commanders, and Bears.
Named three teams that make sense. The Giants are out there; they've been connected to Fields at least in terms of chatter. I mean, that's four right there. I mean, I think he's going to have a market. And like you said, like the difference between him and say Sam Darnold, when he, the Panthers gave up a pretty good bounty, like Fields has actually shown something. Like he's shown he has a potential high level play in him.
And the contract is a real great sweet spot. That's almost perfect. It's not too long in the future. It's 2 years at a very low rate. Like that helps.
All right, let's move. We'll stick with the Raiders. I'll throw one out here that another thing that I don't quite buy. Now, I do buy that with with all the bravado and excitement around the Raiders with Antonio Pierce that they want to win now. And maybe you're right. Maybe they go and they hunt and get a quarterback that they could believe they could be a playoff team with. But I still, the Davante Adams thing, I'm not there. I'm not there believing that he is definitely on that team given his age and where they are as a team. And I've always thought that the Jets were going to make a big play for him. You know, Rodgers wants to make a big play. You know, Rodgers is calling the shots for the Jets at this point. So if the Jets picked up the phone and called up the Raiders, what would it take? So I'm saying, tell me if this is crazy or this kind of makes sense. The Raiders would give up their first round pick, the 13th overall pick. The Jets give them back their first round pick, which is a 10th overall pick. So the Raiders move into the top 10. The Jets also give them a second round pick in 2025, which given the state of the Jets roster and the boom or bust nature could be a pick in the low 30s potentially, or in the 30s. Would that be enough to get Adams and his big contract out of Vegas?
No,
I think so. I'm with you. I think the Raiders, especially under Josh McDaniels, Davante Adams would have been history very quick. But new coaching staff, he likes the coach. I could see Pierce not wanting to move a player like that this offseason. But I just feel like if someone calls, I think they'd be listening to this. I cooked up one, and maybe this is too high of a price for the Colts to give up. But I thought that the Colts, who are also in like, let's surround our young quarterback with weapons now, would be willing to give for a Davante Adams in his prime the 15th overall pick. And what I love about it for the Raiders, that may be a little rich, but in this world, the Raiders, who need a lot of pieces, could turn around and redo their wideout room and have more as well, because they'd have the 13th pick and the 15th pick. But maybe that's a little expensive for Davante Adams. I don't think it would have been a year or two ago.
I've got a non-official Davante Adams one, by the way. He really was as good as gone as any player has ever been when it was Josh McDaniels, where he would basically like go up to the Monday Night Football camera, like write in Sharpie, like, I want to be traded. And then that didn't happen. I think Pierce like loves him a little too much. When I was in Vegas, Antonio Pierce walked by me in the lobby. Like, his dog levels, just like walking in a lobby, were so like off the charts. I feel like he's not going to trade a dog levels guy like Davante Adams, but this isn't one of my official three. I want Davante Adams to the Bills. I think a first rounder is too rich for Davante at this point. I think I'm going back to my gentleman's first rounder. Two twos from the all-in Bills for Davante. I don't know if he's too redundant to Stephon Diggs. Their salary cap situation is probably too messed up too. But Stephon and Davante can both do everything on the football field. They're so all-in that I really want Davante Adams on the Bills instead of the Jets. Plus two for the storyline of him playing Rodgers twice.
Put a pin in that. I could see, you bring in Adams and then you get rid of Diggs or whatever. But I don't think that's too much. They sent a first and a second round pick for him just 2 years ago. I don't understand. I don't think there's much of a chance Davante Adams gets traded. Why would they trade one of their best players? They're also not going to get any real like cap relief out of it in the short term. They get like a very much, and they don't need cap relief. They need to be filling that stadium and win some games.
Greg, is that at least in how the league typically works, big ticket guy for a team that's kind of rebuilding, reloading, that was a different regime brought him in, there's always that chance. Now, have we heard Adams on record say he definitely wants to stay with Las Vegas? Because if I'm Adams, I'm like, I got how many big time years do I have left? One or two. And I don't know who my quarterback here is. Like, I just think there's, as much as the Raiders want to put it out there, and I think the GM said he's a Raider a couple days ago. Like, they're really pushing that hard, but that is also, that's leverage. And I think, given there would be a market for him, and some teams like the Bills are a great example too. The Bills and Jets are both very desperate teams in different ways, that maybe you can get that first rounder. Now, mine was moving up in the first round and then a second, but you know, the trade famously that got Stephon Diggs to Buffalo was just Diggs for a first, and that worked out for everyone because the Vikings then got Justin Jefferson. So could Adams
is 32
that?
Years old, which has kind of snuck up on me.
That's part of it too. Yeah,
a little bit. I just think they can get even more cap relief and stuff. If they were going to trade him, they're going to trade him like during the season or see how everything goes and wait. I do have a Diggs trade though. While he's up there, I'm sending Diggs, and I think Diggs is eminently tradable. I think this wide receiver market has not like finished expanding. Teams are going to be ready to pay wide receivers as quarterbacks, whether it's contracts or in trade terms. And so even though Diggs is coming off a down year, he's young enough. I think he could get a first round pick back. I thought about the Browns. Ooh, there's some whispers they want to bring in a wide receiver. Tony Pauline had that. The Cowboys maybe with the brother thing. But who's got an extra first round pick this year? It's the Arizona Cardinals with the 27th pick overall. Just send him over to Stefan to Buffalo. For some reason, I think Stefan Diggs would be happy to be in Arizona where it's just chill and he could just put up big numbers. And who knows, maybe you draft, you get a wide receiver in the draft. You got him, you got Wilson, you got Kyler Murray. Let's fly. I think the Bills would do that too.
Greg, I had a duplicate, exactly the same trade.
That means it's happening. Right there,
I hate the idea of a declining physically, but his ego higher and more powerful than ever, Stefan Diggs going to the Arizona Cardinals. That zoo and seeing how that turns out while, you know, Kyler, either freezes him out of the game plan or is forcing targets. That smells like a disaster.
I think he would either embrace the retirement home aspect or he would just be like, yeah, I'm going to retire. Like he would just immediately retire after they traded him.
Only 30. Like he wasn't that, he wasn't.
Yeah,
he played old last year.
He played old last year.
He did. He did finish with 1,180 yards and 107 catches. I know it fell off a lot, but during the season, but it's not like he was a disaster. I just feel like both those teams would do that trade. And the Cardinals, they can't. They have a surplus of picks. They're one of the teams that could actually give it up. Although that's the Texans pick, which we thought at the time was like going to be a top five pick. There was like a week in the season where we were like, ooh, the Cardinals could have the top two picks of the draft. And it ended up being the 27th because the Texans got into the divisional round.
Yeah. If you like do the math on it, to get to 1,100 yards, if you play every week is like 65 yards a game. That's kind of what his ceiling was this year. And I just wonder, like, if he is, because people know, I'm not going to say he's a diva or anything like that, but people know, he's a lot. Like, and you got to make sure Stefan's in a good place. If a guy that's coming off a red flag season and he's a little bit of a handful potentially in the locker room, what kind of, is his market as strong as maybe you might think it should be strong because he's been like a top 10 receiver for the last 5 years or at least before last year? I think he's an interesting one in terms of trying to figure out how much he can command. I'm sure Brandon Bean and McDermott are thinking the same thing.
The amount of screaming between Kyler and Stefan Diggs would maybe set a single season.
It would be great, though. Receivers are
off
like
the charts.
I don't know what the comparison is, but I think a TO, and I think this has happened with a lot of receivers, like their expiration date with some of them like happens in after about 3 years. But that first year is great. The second year is pretty good. And then it starts getting sour. So it's time. You're going to get one nice year where he looks great.
All right. Before we go around the horn again, let's pause, take a break, and we'll be right back with RotoPat and Fake Trades.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Pat, give us another one.
This isn't the hammer drop. This one.
No hammer drop. No
this
hammer
one drop. Is like for pure functionality. This is like buying a couch. You got to get the couch in the house. You're not. It's not flashy. But it is quite comfortable. The Kansas City Chiefs, I originally said conditional fourth rounder. I think it could probably be a conditional fifth rounder to the New York Giants for Darius Slayton, who just for some reason, every year the Giants hate Darius Slayton, even though all he ever does is get like 700 yards on limited targets. Yeah, he's cleared 700 yards in four or five seasons. Something MVS has never done, but the Chiefs just cut. Get a legitimate field stretcher who actually has like half a decade of proven production. He could be a great role player in this offense for the Chiefs. I think he's better than he's ever been allowed to be in New York, which maybe is not really a thing after 5 years. But Pat,
you, everything you're saying right now is exactly how we would have explained the Kadarius Toney trade 2 years ago.
Except for unlike Kadarius Toney, he's actually produced.
Slayton's solid, but this is a perfunctory trade. It feels very like a couple that's no longer really feeling the magic, but like, let's just knock it out every other week.
He's done 700 yards.
I want
he's
more. This is like when Mark or actually, I don't even remember if it was Mark or Wes or who was like, where we have to drop like a big ticket, like hammer drop of an item. And they talked about Gio Bernard's impact on the 2021 Bucks.
So by the way, this isn't the hammer drop, of course. And this is just part of a larger Chiefs receiver core overhaul. Cause this is also part of the Chiefs trading for Justin Jefferson, of course, which we're not even going to get into on the show, but they got to remake the receiver. The fact that they won back-to-back Super Bowls with less like the definition of like league replacement receivers, they're not going to do it a third time. Famous last words. He's had league worst quarterback play for half a decade, man. Darius Slayton, get him at the real quarterback, get the Chiefs a real field stretcher, and watch magic happen.
I also think the Chiefs, with that 32nd pick, it's in that closer to gentleman's terms where it's if it's not a Slayton, but you want to go try and swing for the fences on someone else, you can essentially offer a first round pick that to the Chiefs looks like a second round pick, and maybe get out of there, because I think I'm with you. I think it's going to be multiple. It's got to be has to be multiple pieces, but it can't just be a bunch of B minus ham and eggers like last season.
This is right. This is a great wide receiver class. There's going to be, look, you know, the top six could be all quarterbacks and receivers, which is crazy. But then the first round could be six or seven receivers. So there might be a spicy guy available there too.
You know, I said that the Steelers offense to me feels like the girl in the closet in all summer in a day. I tip my cap to what the Chiefs were able to do. All apologies to the union and their incredibly comprehensive survey. I can't watch another season of Patrick Mahomes checking down for four quarters. For
the worst thing that's
months.
Ever happened in the history of football.
I want my bomber back. I want the God of all gods airing it out to a talented group of wide receivers. So, yeah, that's why I push back against Slayton, because I agree. I think everyone agrees that Slayton seems there's something there to unlock, and maybe that's it. If he's a piece of that pie,
he's a piece.
Give it to me. But I need a big time draft pick. I need a big time number one wide receiver to pair with Mahomes and let him fly again. Because, you know, Kelce is also going to keep on getting more and more lumbering as he's getting older. They can't wait another year. And we shouldn't be burning Patrick Mahomes 20s prime with him as a game general. We just can't do that. We shouldn't. It's a shame.
He needed to prove something to himself or whatever. You proved it, man. Like, we get it. You can win with literally anyone.
This is coming from like the fantasy guy and then the guy who drafted Mahomes in fantasy.
That's
Dan,
true.
It's just so mad at that they won the Super Bowl with him having like Alex Smith sub Alex Smith stats.
This checks both boxes though. As a fantasy guy fan, sure, that drafted him, but also just I like watching Mahomes be Mahomes. It's almost like when Jordan at the end of his run when the NBA was in a much different place when he was like winning game. You're watching that Jordan documentary and they're showing the highlights and they have the big music and they have the single cam on Jordan talking like, oh, and he disrespected me, so I had to put him under the ground. And then he makes the big shot at the end in slow motion, and then they put up the final score, and it was like 72-65, Bulls win. Like, it doesn't take away from Jordan's greatness, but, you know, I want Mahomes to be 1989-90 Jordan when he's putting up 35 a game and soaring through the air.
It's embarrassing for the league. You watch the Super Bowl, and your mom is like, I was told Patrick Mahomes threw the ball deep.
I did get a text from my mom during the game that the game was kind of boring. It was like mid third quarter. I was like, yeah, you're not wrong, mom. You're not wrong.
Deb Rosenthal is the conscience of the National Football League, and people have to understand that. Greg, throw out another one.
Okay. I'm going to stick with the Chiefs, but on the defensive side, we mentioned L'Jarius Sneed. I think he's getting traded. You wouldn't put that out there unless you were expecting to. Bit of a risk, but they did let Charvarius Ward go for nothing, basically, and that worked out fine for them. So who needs a cornerback? There's a lot of teams, but who's going to be willing to give up something? The Detroit Lions. And I think the market for Sneed in a trade, the terms might not be that high because you have to make him one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the league, if not the highest, along with it. So that's going to temper the market. But I'm going to say number 73 this season, and a 2025 third gets it done. So that's just next season's third. I think we need to get more into trading future picks like the NBA. Like, they'll spend 3 months of podcasts talking about, ooh, the Lakers 2029 first round pick is now available. Like, they can trade that. It's like the NFL team should get into that more. It's time for the Lions to push forward.
You know why? Because those basketball NBA trades, they don't feel tangible at a certain point. It's like a trade 10 years in advance. I like that the NFL, everything's within the 3-year window of reality.
Okay, but at least, just send a future pick. So the Lions, they give up 73. They're already short a pick, I believe. And then, I'm getting either a second or a third next year.
It's a cunning move, too, because if you trade picks way down the road and things go awry, you get canned. It's the next general manager that has to deal with that. So that's savvy.
And the Lions don't want to be the new Bills, which is the lovable losers that become the big-time team that then can't get over the hump. So this is kind of a sneaky, important year in terms of continuing the franchise progress. That's why I'm with you. They're going to aggressively look to get better this offseason. When I was getting ready for this exercise, I was saying, all right, what are the playoff teams that lost? Like, what do they need? And the Lions jumped out to me, and everyone knows Aiden Hutchinson is a big-time player for them. Give him a little help. So I'm going to go in the front seven, and there's two options, both from the same team, the Chargers. And there's two, and what I like about it is that the Lions, and really any team that is looking for help in this realm, they can either go big ticket or they can get a slightly discount item. So you have obviously Joey Bosa. I think he, with his age, his track record, I know the injuries, but because of the position he plays, a premium proven pass rusher, I think he's going to cost a first round pick. So the Lions give up their 29th pick for Joey Bosa, and all of a sudden they have these dogs on the opposite ends of each other. And if they don't want to go that hard, if they want to keep that first round pick, Khalil Mack's there. And I think Khalil Mack, second round pick, 61st overall seems fair for a guy. I mean, he's a little older, but he's coming off like an 18 sack season. Would you give up a late second to get Max? So they have two paths to go there depending on how rich they want to be.
I really like this because the Chargers, I think there, if there's a time to part with Bosa, this came to my mind too, that post Brandon Staley, different situation, new vibe, and they're $25 million in the red right now. They've got a lot of changes they've got to make. They had the most expensive defense for a number of years under Staley, and they were a disaster. So it's like you could move Bosa. And it is a player that I think has missed so much time that the Lions are taking a risk there, but it's time for the Chargers to think about a fresh new start, I think.
So Bosa was at a pistachio eating competition in my hometown of Santa Monica last week. I learned this information. I don't know why. Some sort of sponsorship.
Like, how much money could he be possibly making off that it was worth going?
I don't think he was in the competition, but it was some sponsor event, and he was eating. So they asked him about Jim Harbaugh, and he said he loves the sound of it. But it's like, I don't know if he's going to be on that team. I'm with you, Dan. I think he gets dealt. I think the Chargers would throw a parade if they could get a first-round pick for him. They might cut him. I'm with you. They should explore a possible trade, and I think they'd take what they can get, whether it's a first, a second, a whatever it is. He just hasn't been able to stay on the field. When he's on the field, he's freaking awesome. So he makes sense for a team like the Lions that would like just take a big swing, but he also would be a huge risk, and the pistachio thing's a bit of a red flag, too.
I do like pistachios, by the way.
Good.
How much are you eating, though, in a pistachio eating
I'll find out more information. This came across my Santa Monica account that I follow, and I was like, what is happening here? Joey Bosa's at 3rd Street or something eating pistachios.
All right, Mark, do you have one more before we go to the hammer drop?
I do, and I'm going to use a roto-pat word, wish casting. This is probably more something I would like to see happen, and it's very unlikely, but I do see two teams with quarterbacks that I think behind closed doors, they're like, what are we doing with this guy? And like, this guy is overpaid and not producing. I see two quarterbacks like that. So I think you flip the script here and just hear me out. Like, the Cleveland Browns take Deshaun Watson and they look back on this season and say, you know what? This is not probably going to get a lot better. And we can either be an organization. Andrew Berry is a forward thinking general manager that like we can sit in our mistake if that's how we feel about it, or we can move on. And I think that the New York Giants feel the same way about Daniel Jones and his absurd contract. And so the Browns and Giants flip quarterbacks. But I think in that world that the Deshaun Watson return to the NFL was about as toxic as it could be off the field, obviously. But to him to go to another team after the Browns, I think it's more palatable probably for the Giants to take that experience at this point. And I think if you're Brian Daboll, you can look at Deshaun Watson and say there's a lot we can do there. And if you're the Cleveland Browns, you're back in the world of reorganizing at quarterback, but Daniel Jones could get you through a season or two.
Whoa. Wait, first, can I just say that?
This is wild.
This is, I mean, this is impossible. Although it's fun because any fun, idea though. That I gets like, the I Browns like detached from that quarterback is great. Nobody wants that guy. Nobody wants the guaranteed money connected to him at this point. And certainly a Tiffany franchise like the New York Giants with the Maras and the Rooneys, they would never, ever take on Watson. So I think it stops because of the baggage. Forget about any of the other stuff. In my opinion, I don't think that the Giants even pick up the phone.
Right. I get that the Jones is a distressed asset, so he's like a negative asset too. But no one would give up, I don't think, you know, a conditional. No one would take Deshaun Watson on their team, I don't think, right now, the other 31
teams. Do you
teams,
think there's
with
a
that
speck
contract.
Of possibility that the inside the Browns building, they're like, it would be nice to move on from this player if
they're
done.
Of course.
They're done.
Yes. Yeah. I think the Browns would do this in a second. I'm with you, but I don't think any other team would do
it. Why don't you reach? This is a. And people forget about this because, and the Browns, they deserved it. They got buried. But there were a lot of other teams that wanted Watson too. And they're reported out there. You can look it up. Go check in on some of those teams.
Yeah, the
and
Falcons. See if they, yeah. If they the Saints. I do have an important update before the hammer drop.
Yes.
Joey Bosa finished 7th out of 8 competitors in a pistachio, wonderful pistachio, get crack and eaten competition. The world champion, some guy named Webb, destroyed him with 221. Joey Chestnut was there, tied for 5th. Bosa finished 152 pistachios. He did beat one other person in the competition.
How pathetic that someone that's an actual, yeah, someone's an actual competitive eater and they couldn't beat the athlete that was just, yeah,
I think it's
right.
You're an NFL edge rusher. You should be able to get off the bus and eat.
They build it as Joey versus Joey, Bosa versus Chestnut. And there appears to be about, you know, 17 people in, you know, hoodies watching this thing.
That it does make me finishing 7th out of 8 makes me think that, yeah, he doesn't have that dog in him.
It's
and
dog
I'm dropping that too. That's a 3rd round
pick
now going from Detroit. All right. It's time now to do what we must, which is clear the decks. Because Patrick Daugherty, Roto Pat, is about to share a hammer drop, a panty dropper, and everything that could drop is dropping. Here we go.
I think it ties together everything we've been talking about so far. So listen, Deshaun Watson, he got 3 first-round picks, right? RG3 got 3 first-round picks. Sight unseen in 2012, Washington traded 3 first-round picks.
Yeah,
right,
but Rex Grossman and John Beck, Mike Shanahan was ready to stake his reputation upon them.
So 3 first-round picks has kind of been the going rate for like the stunning quarterback trade and acquisition. I think it needs to be up to 4 first round picks. It's like someone's going to always break new ground in this territory. It kind of ties into Greg too. Like, who cares about future first round? Just keep trading them. Doesn't matter. No one cares about the Brooklyn Nets 2028 first round pick. Just get them out there. It's 4 first round picks for an elite quarterback. The Commanders, I mean, the owner, the new guy, he tried to lay low for a year. He's like, it's a new day in Washington. And like January 1st rolled around. I was like, okay, never mind. Like, he's sitting in on meetings at the combine. You know, he's like starting feuds with other assistant coaches in the league. Like, you know, like he spent his whole offseason like leaking anti Ben Johnson dirt. he's ready to like ascend to the throne of like the crazy new owner. I think it was Dan said the Los Angeles Chargers, they need a fresh new start. Jim Harbaugh, all he wants, he doesn't care about passing the ball. He's not going to pass. He doesn't need to pass. Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick gets the NFC Championship game every year. Trade Justin Herbert to the Washington Commanders for 4 first round picks. Blow up and restart 2 organizations anew. Remake a bold new NFL. It's a new era. The going rate is now 4 first round picks. Everyone's happy, and we get something to write about for months and months and months.
I love it.
Including the number 2 overall pick, I'm assuming, is one of those.
Yeah, sure. Who cares? I mean,
it's a steep price. That is a steep price. I think the Chargers would have to think about it.
They would have to think about it. Give them something to think about, Josh Harris. That's his name, right? Josh.
Yeah, that's
it. Give them something to think about.
You know, George Bluth on Arrested Development once taught us that you never promise crazy a baby. I would say when it comes to the NFL, you know, always pick up the phone with crazy when it comes to trades. And I think Jim Harbaugh, he's just crazy enough to do it. I think Jim, you're already hearing some stories behind the scenes. Jim is a wild man. Jim's going to build this organization in his likeness. Justin's not his guy. Maybe he doesn't love him like the media loves him. Maybe he thinks he's got a bit of a ceiling on him. I don't think that's it's a hammer drop, but I don't think it's insane that Harbaugh might want to
trade back
this
from
thing.
2 and take JJ McCarthy.
I could see Harbaugh doing something, a mega splash, and that would be a mega splash.
Spicy.
And yeah, I mean, Justin Herbert, the stat guy, we all love him. We love the empty stats, except for they didn't even come with any touchdowns in 2023. So didn't love him that much last year. But he can take his empty volume somewhere else. Jim Harbaugh gets his character building rushing attack, and everyone's
be careful with that Justin Herbert slander. The wrong media member could hear you and cut you ear to ear.
I draft him literally every year. I love him, but so
take your empty stats elsewhere.
Well, this is part of the. I love the empty stats. He's not going to have him anymore in L.A. I'm sure he'll have him for days in Washington for days and days. So that's why we need this to happen. Actually, as a fantasy community.
Greg, your thoughts on that before we say goodbye to Patrick?
I don't like it. I think Jim Harbaugh, I believe in love. I believe Jim Harbaugh loves this man, Justin Herbert. I do think if they offered the number 2 overall pick and multiple more first round picks, I think they would take it, the Chargers. As crazy as that seems, Jim Harbaugh would believe that he could just turn that pick into gold and rebuild the whole ship, and it's cheaper, and it's not that crazy.
You know, the other thing is, it's not a fan base here in LA where you're going to get a ton of negative reaction to it. There might be no reaction.
They're struggling
to have any imprint in the city. And like, if you traded like Justin Herbert away from like the Dallas Cowboys, people are going to go freaking nuts. I think Chargers, it's like off the radar. It could be done without too much cantankerous nature to it.
Patrick, you've said it all. You never promise crazy a baby, but I would promise you a baby. Wrote about that's how strong
I don't need any more babies, let's be real.
How many you got?
We have 4, folks.
Wow,
that's enough. You're in St. Louis, it's a little bit of a different vibe there.
The cost of living's lower too. It's a strong Irish Catholic German town, the long lineage. We actually have a small family by German Missouri standards. Like, oh wow, 4. When are you getting started for real?
Pat probably lives in a home that is bigger than our homes combined when you get that Missouri bump rolling.
There's a Missouri bump. I can confirm. There's a Missouri bump.
Should we take our podcast and relocate to Missouri? I feel like that would be an energy
shift.
We'll
give you a tax break. I'm sure.
Peace and Lincoln are there. You know, it really adds up.
What about your wife, though, Greg? What would she do to you? I mean, your wife, Greg, has been vengeful about certain elements of the move from New York to L.A. If you took her to middle America, then what happens?
Yeah, I think she just goes to Tokyo.
You're like, equidistant to both coasts here in St. Louis, guys. That's it. Actually, a little closer to the East Coast.
Oh, man. Honey, ATN is moving to Missouri. Honey, I'm moving to Japan.
They had a good run.
All right, good stuff, Pat. Thank you so much. And you could check out Road to Pat's work over at Road to World or NBC Sports. And I know you have a comprehensive banger you put out a couple weeks ago going over each team season. And I'm sure there's more to come in the near future. So thank you, buddy.
There is. Thank you very much. Yeah, I've committed, I believe, the ultimate industry faux pas where I'm late for my own podcast.
Right. People should check out the Roto World football show because we've made him late for it today. So please check him out.
You could bang us for that. Go ahead.
That's how much I love the show. I would not miss the show even for my own show. So thank you very much for having me.
Or you could trash us in the open of that one and then we could do a little Fugazi podcast war and then everybody like wins. Metric yeah, soar.
That's true. Yeah, that's
go dark.
True.
No, all right, Pat. Thanks, bud.
Always my pleasure.
Thank you.
There he goes, Roto Pat. Yes, one of our favorites. Man, that Herbert thing really does get me thinking. I know it's absurd, blah blah blah, but Harbaugh really is. I mean, people that don't know, people don't realize that that's a different cat, and the Chargers are not a team that's overly comfortable with paying massive bucks for anybody. So if they had an opportunity where the coach got what he wanted, which is complete control of building the roster and his own vision, and all of a sudden there was plenty of money freed up, that would be fun.
I think Herbert is that tempting vision, though.
Also, it's like it's the closest, kind of closest thing you get to the shocking nature of the Herschel Walker trade. But the smarter team completely rebuild from scratch there and won multiple Super Bowls.
It'd be fun, but I think the way Jim Harbaugh talks about Justin Herbert, he's like ready to build a statue of Justin Herbert. I think he's everything that Justin Herbert's everything Jim Harbaugh's ever wanted out of a quarterback. He's been like searching for this quarterback forever, and just he is so confident that he's like, we need nothing more than a stud like this and me, and we're going to freaking roll.
Ultimately I'm with you on that. I think the hardest thing to do is to locate a high-end quarterback, and he's got one that's like 25 years old. So maybe you don't want to overthink things ultimately.
I think we'll get some fun trades, though. Some that we haven't even thought of because, you know, if they were that big of a surprise, we wouldn't be able to think of them. But it feels like there's a lot of cap space out there. And so we actually will get some fun trades, I think, in the next 2 weeks.
All right. So there you go. That's it for another show. We will be back on Monday. I think we're going to go back to 3 a week starting next week. So we're as free agency gets closer, we're going to really be digging in. And also, like we said, the combine will be wrapping up by the time you hear from us again. So we'll be welcoming on some draft guests and looking at how teams will improve on that end. So yes, it is the beginning of a new journey, 2024. And we're here. Mark, do you have anything you want to add before we say goodbye?
I think I just felt an earthquake in my apartment.
Really?
Yeah. Or was it? I don't know. Or like an aircraft flew into the side of the apartment. But like there was a major jolt right there. So I'm going to be checking that out.
Post haste. That's it. All right. Until Monday. Thanks for listening. And you know what you got to do. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos.
I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.